Good morning.
I have some terrible news today. You know those cranberry hymnals? You're going to have to relearn how to use them. I'm sorry, the projection system is not working this morning. So, yeah. But we will make it. We will make it. Please stand as you are able to do so, or in mind, or body, or spirit. And our call to worship, which should be up there, I know you can get this first part right. This is the day that our Lord has made. And I'll do the rest myself. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. We are slaves for Jesus' sake. The confession and forgiveness is on page something. It's not in the bulletin. 94? Page 94. We'll get through this together, I promise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will continue with our gathering hymn. It is number 631 in your cranberry hymnal. Adam, give us an extra long intro so we can find the page. Thank you. Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you to turn to page 203 in your Cranberry hymnal towards the front, not the hymns, but 203, the pages at the bottom, for our canticle of praise and our Kyrie.
Pray. Almighty God, the replenient light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son and illumine the world with your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from the 2 Kings, the second chapter. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elijah were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elijah, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elijah and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he answered, yes, I know. Be silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up, and he struck the water. The water was parted to the left, to one side, and then the other, until the two of them crossed onto dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elijah said, please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept walking and watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 50 responsively with me. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the raising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me, faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as slave for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And please turn to page 205 in the front of your hymnal, and on the right in the middle of the page is our gospel affirmation. And go ahead and put a little, you know, marker in there, because later in the service we will keep going from there. Please stand. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to Christ. You may be seated. So I mentioned this in my pondering this week, if you didn't get a chance to read it. 6 days later is how this starts. You should always, always ask yourself, what? What happened 6 days ago, right? What happened 6 days ago? If you read the pondering or watched it, you know what happened 6 days ago, right? You know, anybody? Come on, someone here read it. Gosh! You don't want to tell me what it said? I know he read it because he told me an engineer joke this morning. So anyway, what happened 6 days before that was Jesus started, he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter was like, well, you're the Messiah. But Peter didn't want that kind of a Messiah, the kind of Messiah that Jesus was. Peter wanted a conquering Messiah. So then, you know, Peter like started telling Jesus, whoa, 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 whoa. And you know, he's like, get behind me, Satan, you know, that whole thing. And then Jesus started telling everyone that he was going to die, be raised on the third day. So that really weird thing at the end where he's like, don't tell anyone about this until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They shouldn't have been surprised that he said this, even though they probably were. All right. I wouldn't have to do this if you just read my pondering, just saying. Now on with the sermon. Brunch plans. Who's got brunch plans today? Come on, don't be shy. Raise your hands. I knew it. I knew it. I'd get some. All right. Where are you going? Anybody? Lulu's. Anybody else? I knew I would get a whistle stop. Played right into the sermon today. All right. So when you get there, I just want you to sit down. I want you to look around for a little bit, the tables around you. Just for a little bit, and tell me just what it is that you notice going on at all the tables around you. Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. So, how many cell phones do you think you will see at the tables around you? I hear lots.
90%.
Norm, when you go to lunch with Jeff this morning, I bet you have your phone out, won't you?
No!
No! Oh, you should see the scowl he gave me. How dare you? I'm just kidding, Norm. Yeah. Can you believe them? I'm with you, Norm. They're just sitting there both. Maybe they're texting each other, Norm, from across the table. So I would tell you, if you go out and you see a group of teenagers, that is exactly what you'll see. They'll be gathered around a table, and they'll all be on their phone, you know, TikTok, or, you know, they don't go to Facebook. That's for old people like you. But they're on TikTok, and they're like sharing, like, hey, look at this, you know. Do you have a phone yet? Yeah. You like TikTok? Insta? YouTube Shorts. Well, that's probably from TikTok anyway. Anyway, People won't even look up from these phones, will they? Or, here's another one. You go to an event that you're meant to experience, right? And instead of experiencing it, people try to capture it. Maybe there's a fireworks display or a concert or a sporting event, right? And there they are again, phones out, trying to capture that moment. Why? So it can live forever in the confines of a 3x6 screen that will likely never be looked at again because as of Friday morning, your 3x6 screen has 24,865 combined pictures and videos on it. That's right. I am one of those people that at an event, I will have my phone out trying to capture it so it can live in here forever to be never looked at again. Put that where it belongs. And that's probably why I love photography. So, landscape photography in particular, because you don't have to deal with people. Just saying. It was the summer of 2016. Andrew and I took our then two kids. Andrew was on the way. And it was we went to Acadia National Park up on the coast of Maine. Okay, it was the fourth or fifth longest day of the year on the literal easternmost part of this giant landmass that is the continental United States, right? So that means that if I wanted to capture the East Coast at the perfect time, in the sun of the rising sun, it was super early. I had to wake my butt up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hate mornings, but that is how much I love trying to capture these moments. So the sun came up. I was set up there, right? I snapped about a million pictures on this family this fancy camera of mine, and then weirdly, I just stopped. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning to be taking pictures, and then I stopped taking pictures. I stopped trying to frame that perfect picture. I stopped trying to capture that moment. I just if you ask Andrea, she would tell you, that is something I don't ever do when I have a camera in my hand. I was up on a 50-foot cliff above a cove. The sky was painted above me, and below me you had rocks, orange-colored rocks from the sunrise, holding back the vast Atlantic Ocean. The waves were crashing. The salt water was being splashed up into the air. I could smell it. I could feel this salt water. All of a sudden, I could start to feel the sun warm my face. But it wasn't too warm. It was just the right amount of warm. And I left my camera there on its tripod. And I walked over and I sat down. And I just listened. I listened to the waves. I felt the sun. I smelled the salt water. And then I leaned back. I closed my eyes. I rested my head on a rock, and I just was there. I was present. I was present in that moment, in that place. I was strangely in that moment, but I also wasn't in that moment. I was connected to my body, but weirdly disconnected from my body all at the same time. I felt like I felt everything and nothing all at once in that moment. It was one of those elusive, transcendent moments that we all look for. It was a time when I was one with the world around me. I was one with God, and I felt nothing at all but peace. And I never experienced anything like that before, and I'm still waiting to feel something like that again. Unfortunately, as all things must, this moment dissipated. The sun got a little warmer on my face, and all of a sudden I started worrying, oh, what if I get sunburned? And my mind was no longer blank and peaceful. The moment was over, as quickly as it began. And I'll always remember this moment. In my words, I try to paint for you a picture of that moment. The pictures that I do have from before and after that moment, I can show you, but they don't do it justice. Words can't, pictures can't, videos can't explain what I experienced in that moment of being there. But how very good it was to be there in that moment. On that day, in that fleeting, transcendent moment. Our good friend Peter today, he's just so close. He's so close to getting it. And yet he falls into the same trap that I so often do, that many of you so often do, that the couple that's texting one another across the table does, Norm. He starts off and he says, Rabbi, how good it is for us to be here. Stop. Just stop, Peter. Don't say another word. Of course he does. The word, the Greek word for good here is kalos. It's not just good, but it's beautiful, excellent, magnificent. I mean, think about it. Jesus is glowing. It's a glow that not even OxyClean, not even bleach can replicate. Right? Terry, she hears, I'm sorry, she's like, oh my gosh, why did he bring me into this? Terry hears about this glowing, this transfiguring, and she's like, I want what God has. Whenever Sean spills red wine on these pyramids, I want whatever that is to make them glow again. Sorry, Terry, nothing earthly can do that. I'm sorry. And then Elijah is there. Moses is there. We haven't seen Elijah since he was transported to heaven in a whirlwind. And Moses, we know he died, but guess who buried Moses? Not human hands, God's hands. Only God knew where Moses was buried. So this once dead Moses and this never died but taken up into heaven Elijah are there standing with a bedazzled, with a glowing Jesus. Rabbi, how good it is, how magnificent it is for us to be here. Stop! Peter, you're so right. But Peter never stops when he's supposed to. Instead of sitting there, existing that in that moment, he got out his phone. He started texting his other disciples. And he's like, you're not going to believe this, but Moses and Elijah are up here and Jesus is bedazzled. And Thomas, you know Thomas, of course. Thomas is like, send pics or I'm not going to believe you. Come on, that's funny. Gosh, you never laugh at my good jokes. So Peter started snapping pictures. He sends them to the group disciple chat. It's called the 12. Laugh at that joke. That wasn't even good. And then he goes to Instagram. He runs the pics through the Insta filter to make Jesus glow a little more, to bedazzle Jesus a little more. And then he's like, oh no, I need to get a TikTok. I need to get something on Facebook, right? And he's like, Jesus, hey, how about we build some houses? You guys hang out for a while so I can get the TikTok, I can get the Facebook, I can get the X formerly known as Twitter posted. And then suddenly, a cloud overshadows them. And a voice boom, this is my son, the beloved, listen to him. And Peter, I'm imagining he just falls. He falls to the ground because he's terrified. Scripture tells us that he is terrified. And when he slowly, you know, like one eye at a time, opens his eyes back up, when he uncurls himself from that fetal position because he's on the ground. We know he's on the ground, curled up. When he looks up, Elijah, he's gone. Moses. He's gone. Jesus, he's not bedazzled anymore, right? That moment is over. The cloud is gone. The moment is gone. And Peter, rather than sitting in God's presence, right? Rather than being immersed in the splendor and the magnificence of being on this mountaintop with Moses and Elijah and this glowing Jesus, instead of experiencing this moment with his fellow disciples, James and John, well, he was worried about making that moment last forever. Let's build dwellings, Peter said. Before he knew it, that moment was just gone. He missed it. I stand up here every Sunday and I try to make sense of our God, right? I try to make sense of this world. I try to explain our God. I try to help us find meaning and truth in 2,000-year-old stories. We search these stories together, these sacred and holy scriptures together. And together we wonder just what it is that we are doing here. Not just in this worship space, but what are we doing here on this earth? And what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do while we are here? Because that's the whole point, isn't it? When we are on earth, we exist to do something. Or many things, even. And sometimes many things all at once. What do we call that? Multitasking? We are a society that values and rewards the doers, the multitaskers. Oh, I don't have time to read this self-help book, right? So I'm going to listen to the audio version while I'm driving. And I'm guilty of this on both ends. I struggle to understand my own value unless I am doing. But there's a lot of people out here like that. And I get that, honestly. I get it from my mom. And when another person's willingness to do doesn't meet my expectations, guess what I do? I judge them. I think less of them. Why won't they do? I'll let you guess where I get that from. I won't say it. She's probably listening. If you're like me, if you are a doer, you might be saying, but Sean, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. Right? How many of you have said that? Thank you. You're right. There are bills to pay and groceries to buy and meals to cook and kids to watch. And don't forget about committee night at 6 p.m. on Thursday so we can, you know, schedule more things to do. Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Not to build houses here, no, just to be here. In this transcendent place where Moses and Elijah are here and Jesus is here and God speaks out of the enveloping cloud and confirms what Peter and James and John likely suspected but didn't know quite for sure. You are here, guys. You are here with my son. I love him and you should listen to him. It is good for us to be here in this transcendent place, right here, right now, in this moment, as we are part of a great and mysterious communion of saints with the people that have come before us and the people that will come after us, as we gather here with all of our siblings in Christ, where we encounter Jesus, where we encounter the Word of God in preaching, in scripture, and in song, where we consume the Word of God in bread and in wine, where God is available to us in the water as we walk into this place, where we hear God speak through our sacred liturgies, through our sacred rites. It is good for us to be here in this transcendent place when we're lying on a rock 50 feet above the ocean, listening to the waves, feeling nothing and everything all at once, communing with God and nature, being at one with God. It is good for us to be here in this transcendent place at the whistle stop at Lulu's for Sunday brunch, communing with family and friends, nothing to do, no scrolling on Facebook, phones down, no time for that, because it is just good for us to be here together in one another's company. And God, well, guess what? God is there too. God is there too, because the whistle stop, Lulu's, those are sacred spaces, and that is sacred stuff. And that is a sacred time. You remember the Cheerios? You remember the Cheerios? When we take the lid off the Cheerios, God is loose in this world. God is loose in the world. God cannot be contained. God is loose in this world. So God is with us in the whistle stop. God is with us at Lulu's. If you're a doer, you meet and experience God through doing, through serving. So today I ask you, what might it look like? What might it feel like if you were allowed to simply be here? Wherever it is. I'm not asking you to do it all the time, because there are, after all, things to do. Just as much as you can stand doing. Sorry, oops. Just as much as you can stand being. However long it might be. Might this allow you to experience God in ways that you've been missing? Now, I don't know who you are out there, but if you're a beer and that's all you are, maybe, just maybe, I'm going to flip that around. How might you experience God in service to the other through your Christian vocation? Might this allow you to experience God in ways that you've been missing? You know who you are. But this sermon isn't about what you should do or what you ought to do. Because at the end of the day, what I want for you, what I want for all of this, is for us to experience God. A God who is loose in the world, a God who ripped the heavens open, a God who can't be contained. I'm not going to do that. A God who cannot be contained. Right? The good news never comes to us in the forms of shoulds or oughts. I should do something. I ought to do something. That's not good news. No, the good news is that God meets the doers, the beers, and the everywhere in-betweeners, wherever it is that they are. Remember the Cheerios. Ours is a God who meets us where we are. Ours is a God who envelops us, a God who surrounds us, a God who ripped open the heavens, a God who is everywhere, a God who is loose in the world, and there is no going back. The Cheerios aren't going back into the box or this little container here. Ours is a God who meets us when we are doing, when we are being, when we are in the mountaintop, when we are in the valley, the lowest of the low. A God who meets us when we are lying on a rock 50 feet above the Atlantic Ocean, when we are drowning in the Atlantic Ocean at the whistle stop at Lulu's, here in this sanctuary, out there in that gathering area, in our hospital rooms, in living rooms, in our lowest of lows, in our highest of highs, in the ordinary, the extraordinary, in the transcendent. God is there in every place in between. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in
it. It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. Now your turn. It is good. It is good for us to be here. Thank you, Peter, for that reminder. And thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Clint. Amen and amen. I invite you to turn to page something, 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 hymn number 315. Oh, what do you know? How good, Lord, to be here. It's like we plan it.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into hell. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The family and friends of Pam. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation.
We pray for the church, that the transformational power of God enters the hearts of all people. May the church and its leaders resist self-serving proclamations and instead proclaim Christ, crucified and risen for all. May its leaders and people serve as examples, shine a light on your grace and healing across all times and space. God of grace,
receive our prayers. We pray for those charged with leadership, lawmaking, and governance of our towns, states, and countries, that they will strive for goodness and justice all the days of their lives and callings.
We continue to pray that fighting in the Middle East ends. Reunite hostages and prisoners with their loved ones and refugees with the lands they once called home. Protect civilians, refugees, the homeless, and migrants in places of war and conflict across the globe, and give them hope where they have none. God of grace,
receive our prayer. We pray for the creation, that we will humbly observe the swirl of wind and the heat of the brilliant sun. Teach us to honor all that you have made and in care for the animals, plants, air, and bodies of water of this planet. As we look upon the good creation with awe and reverence, subdue its power that we, your children, may live in harmony with it. We pray for the people of Southern California for recovery and return to normalcy from the floods, rains, and mudslides. Help those who lost livelihoods and property to rebuild, and provide comfort to the families and friends of those whose lives have been lost. God of grace,
receive our prayer. We pray for any who are sick and suffering, especially Tony, Amanda, David, Pastor Tim, Ken, Barb, Ed, Marianne, Todd, Dwayne, Peggy, Sally, Paul, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Wilma, Jennifer, the family and friends of Pam, the family and friends of Jane Ness, the homebound and those in assisted living, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Guide us to offer hospitality, shelter, friendship, and care to any in need, to be with any in need. God of grace,
receive our prayer. We pray for this congregation and its ministries in the wider community. May we share the transforming beauty and love of God in ways that honor and dignify all whom we encounter. God of grace,
receive our prayer. Oh God, how good it is for us to be here. Thank you for yesterday, today, and all the days to come. Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we will continue with our gifts and our offerings. If you would like to prepare for the offertory hymn, which will come after, that is in the middle of your hymnal, ELW 692. Thank you.
Blessed are you, Holy One, for all good things come from you. In bread and the cup, you opened heaven to us. Meet us at this table, that we receive what we seek, and follow your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who sharing our life lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for all to eat, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ has come. With this bread and with this cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth and his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming, and we respond, Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. Make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on this earth. And we respond, Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to gather here at this table, a table where all are welcome. A table where we are transformed by the goodness of our Lord. Come. We will sing Lamb of God on page 208 in the front of your hymnal. And I ask someone to come forward and help me distribute bread so I can stop talking. Anybody want to?
You may remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Give every good gift. Christ's body is our food, and we are Christ's body. Raise us to life by your power, for the benefit of all, and to your glory, now and forever. Amen.
I got a little animated in my sermon this morning and lost my voice. So I will be on vacation starting Thursday. So till Thursday, please contact me with any pastoral care emergencies. On Thursday until Wednesday of the following week, please contact Dennis, Mr. Dennis Long. His number should be in your bulletin, so please take a copy of that. He will connect you with the pastor. Pastor Tancy Addison will be serving as our emergency pastoral care pastor, but please contact Dennis first. Or if it's during office hours, call Teresa as well.
if you'd like. Many of you here know or knew Jane Ness. There will be a memorial service here next Sunday at 2 p.m. So for all of you who knew Jane or her family, you are invited here to celebrate her life. So that will be next Sunday at 2 p.m. There's an announcement in your bulletin about the OHCAC tax preparation. If that's something that would be useful to you, please take advantage of it. And if you think others could, please communicate that to them. Lenten and Holy Week. It's Ash Wednesday, people, this week. I hope to see you all there so I can smear your soon-to-be dust or eventually dust bodies with ashes onto your forehead and remind you that you will be returning to dust. And then the Wednesdays, so that will be at St. Paul. That will be at St. Paul at 7 p.m. And then the following Wednesdays, those services will also be at St. Paul, not here, at St. Paul at 7 p.m. So, yeah. So you know what it means when we get to Lent? I would normally do this on the Sunday after Ash Wednesday, but I'm not going to be here. And I didn't know who all would be here. I usually let the kids hide these. So you're not all allowed to. I can say it today because it's not Lent yet. But we're going to hide the Alleluia. Why? I don't know. Just because we do it. I got to go dig up my pondering from last year. There was a really good explanation. But we hide the Alleluia. Okay, it's a time of looking inward at ourselves, reflection, and if you don't give anything else up for Lent, which is fine, we're giving up the Alleluia, okay? And we will reclaim it on Easter, on that day where we do proclaim as loud as we possibly can, Alleluia. So I want y'all to get it out of your systems. Come on. Is that it? Come on. Louder. I think you can do it one louder than that. I'll take it. All right, Abby, do you want to help us hide this? Ben and Andrew, y'all go find a good place. You got to promise to show up on Easter because if we can't find this Alleluia, we're going to be stuck. With that, we will continue with a blessing. And before the blessing, I will let you know that our closing hymn, our sending hymn, is number 866. We are marching in the light of God. please stand as in body or in spirit for the blessing. And now may our Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
God's Son, God's chosen and beloved. Listen to him. Be with him.